You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. What a moment. Frank Leboeuf is with us as well. Champions League very much dominates today's programme. We'll kick things off in Paris. PSG taking on Leipzig. PSG, of course, needing a win in this game to kickstart their Champions League campaign, and that's exactly what they got, thanks to an early penalty from Neymar, finishing PSG 1, Leipzig 0. Far from convincing, though, Craig, from the French champions.
Yeah, coming off the back of the defeat at in Monaco, which was a hard one to take for them. Lost in Leipzig, lost against Man United in Paris. And if RB Leipzig had, and it's ifs and buts, but if Timo Werner had still been there,
yeah,
and that's what they're lacking, they'd probably take nothing from this game. But Leipzig had the same problem they had at Old Trafford, Dan. They dominated the game, couldn't score at Old Trafford because they were lightweight up front, and then just for whatever reason, they capitulated. Here, they just dominated pretty much from start to finish. Dominated PSG on their own patch. That doesn't bode well for PSG going forward with two games left. Themselves and Leipzig are chasing Man United. It's still out to play for when you look at the fixtures. However, is anyone convinced this PSG side can go and get results against the better teams? I'm not sure they are.
Are we being harsh here, Frank? Because PSG needed a win and that's what they got.
Well, they got the result, but we can agree with Craig that we can be worried about the future of Paris Saint-Germain. On the same time, you know, we have to accept that the fact that Neymar just came back from injury, Mbappe just came back shortly as well from injury, that's many players had the COVID and they, of course, had a problem with their fitness. But at the end of the day, what we saw today is far away from the level that they normally have. And if you check just the position of the ball that they had today, it's being compared to the result that they got against Barcelona when they lost 6-1 in the Romantada, that famous day where they lost everything. They're far away from what we saw like 5 months ago in the Final Eight. They're not the same level. They're not the same team. I don't know, something is lost. Something is maybe forgotten. But one thing is forgotten is the fact that you have to play together. Mm. We saw two different teams. Leipzig trying to fight together, and Paris Saint-Germain just going with their individuals and praying for a miracle. And the miracle came from the ref with the penalty. Very good gift. Thank you, ref.
You don't think it was a pen, Frank?
No, of course it's not. There is a barely touched by the defender. I don't know who it was. But really, we know Di Maria, like we know Neymar, they go on the floor like only if the wind blows a little bit. So that's what it happened. And I don't know why they didn't check the VAR, because really, it wasn't a penalty. So good for Paris Saint-Germain. They get the 3 points because of that, because otherwise they should have lost, or at least drew.
Pen?
There was some contact, but not... I mean, Frank's right. Di Maria is looking for it. So I think, if you're Leipzig, you're feeling hard done by. But I don't know. After getting to the Champions League final last year, I don't know. Thomas, I know there's been problems, injuries, COVID, lots of games. But I don't know. Thomas Tuchel, is the game plan for PSG to be hard to beat now? A bit like when we talk about Man United, you know, against the better teams, try and be hard to beat and hit on the counter. Maybe that's going to be the way forward for them with Mbappe's pace. I don't know, but I kind of feel that the ownership want to, of course they want to see results, but they want to see swashbuckling, sort of Galactico football, because that's what they pay their money for. And is Thomas Tuchel telling them into, like, let's just be hard to beat and hit the ball over the top and try and play teams on the counter? I don't think that will last long for him.
Well, let's take a look, shall we, how the group stands. Manchester United, of course, the other side vying for a place in the knockout stages from this group. They registered a comfortable victory today at Old Trafford, beating Basaksehir by 4-1. You mentioned it, Craig. This group is still wide open. Yeah. You take a look at the two remaining matches. It's still very much all to play for in a sense that all those three sides have got destiny in their own hands.
Well, PSG go to Old Trafford and then they play Besiktas.
Yep.
At home, who they've already beaten in Istanbul by 2-0. Leipzig have got a home game against Man United after that pasting they got at Old Trafford, and then they have the Turkish side. So out of the group, it's Man United that have got the two toughest games.
Yes.
Still to come.
Yeah.
Albeit one of them's at home against PSG, a PSG side that haven't played well. And if Paris Saint-Germain play like that, United are capable of beating them. And I don't think, as you know, United are a very good side. But PSG are showing at the moment that they're not playing very good football. So that really is a toss-up in terms of that game. So this group is absolutely far from over for the top three teams.
Yeah, it's still very open, isn't it, Frank? Where do you stand on PSG's chances to advance?
Well, what they did the last time they played against Manchester United at Old Trafford was a good performance, and I think they're going to go with that confidence and try to get the same result. They have to have a result at Manchester, therefore win after against the Turkish team and maybe hope that it's going to be enough. Don't forget that having won tonight 1-0 against Leipzig allow them to be, if they are the same level of points, to be in front of them, because they lost only 2-1 and score a goal away from home.
Yep.
Against the Germans. So it helped them to get to be above them. So I don't know. It's still going to be open. I don't think that we consider that Manchester United is a favourite of the group, because we all know that they struggle in the Premier League, and they've easily can struggle in the Champions League if Paris Saint-Germain level his standards, and we'll see. But again, yeah, you're right. It's going to be a fight between the three teams, and we'll see who's going to fall.
Who will fall, Frank? What's your prediction?
I will still go for Leipzig.
Right.
Because I think Manchester United are still ahead and comfortably ahead. And I don't see Paris Saint-Germain not going out of the group stages. That's as simple as that. It would be more digestive from the Germans fan than from the Parisian fans. And I think if they don't go through, bye-bye to Tuchel, and a big change for Paris Saint-Germain at the end of the season.
Who you got, Craig?
Just so that they think I'm absolutely a Man United hater.
Well, you can't just troll people. That can't be your aim.
No, but you know why, you know how paranoid they are. Look, in some sense, going away from home to Leipzig could work for them, because they'll play that counter-attacking game.
And it worked so well, didn't it, in the second half of that game?
It has worked well at times. But I look at the way Leipzig played in general tonight, not in the final third, but in general, and they're playing some great stuff at the moment.
But they're not scoring goals.
If PSG beat Man United at Old Trafford, I think then United will crumble and go out. So it's key that they get a result against PSG at Old Trafford, because I don't see them going to Germany and winning. Might
really?
Be wrong.
They thrashed them at Old Trafford.
Yeah, but that was an anomaly. That was an anomaly.
Wow.
Because they were outplayed from... And I, you know, that was an anomaly. If you look at RB Leipzig, the way they defended in that game, that was just... That was a one-off. I don't see that happening again. So, United, if they don't beat PSG.
Anti-United Craig Burley continues. Jealous.
Well, it's,
jealous
of
their success.
They've had the two hardest games, haven't they?
More from Craig and Frank, by the way, on Extra Time today. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel, where the boys answer your tweets.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Juventus left it late. Alvaro Morata scoring the late goal that saw them beat Ferencváros by 2-1. Gab Marcotti and Stevie Nicol were watching this one. Stevie, how would you sum up Juve's performance?
Very average indeed. If I'm Pirlo, listen, the only positive thing out of this was Morata when he came on after about 60 minutes. You know, he made a huge impact because before this, I mean, Juve didn't look as though they knew how to get past Ferencváros. That's the God's honest truth. So, Dybala and Ronaldo up front, you talk about no connection. You talk about no movement together, no real passing together. And so it was just bang average. And as I said, Morata changed it all. He, after a couple of minutes, put Ronaldo through one-on-one with the keeper. Should have done better. Morata hit the post. And then, of course, right at the end, Morata gets the winner with a header. So if you're Pirlo, the only real positive thing is Morata in the last half hour of the game, because the rest was bang average. And even defensively, when Ferencváros got forward on the few occasions they did, yes, they scored once, but they could have scored more. So it's a win, but I tell you, it gives Pirlo a lot to think about.
5-4 for Morata in the Champions League, Gav.
Yeah, and you know, all these people making jokes. If you count those goals against Barcelona, it's actually, I think, 8-4, right?
No.
Look, I think right now, Juventus, They need Morata in the lineup. Cristiano scored a phenomenal goal. But again, the fact that, you know, it took Cristiano shooting from outside the box because they couldn't get in there. The buildup is still way too slow. Artur is not a midfield playmaker, not yet. Pirlo spoke about this after the game. He said maybe he'll be one someday. Well, that's the problem when he's the guy seeing, you know, so much of the ball. And just trying to poke it forward, or not really having the requisite vision to play in that role. Dybala clearly not fit, not right. You know, he fixed it with Morata and Kulusevski and whatnot, but there's still a lot to work on. Only bright spot perhaps is De Ligt. I thought had another really good game. He was basically the only center back playing with Danilo and Alexandro at the back, and that worked out for him.
Meanwhile, Gab, Barca a lot better without that Messi chap.
Yeah, funny that works out. Well, look, I mean, look, they made wholesale changes. You had Braithwaite in there. You know, Griezmann was also on the bench. They had the kid Mingueza starting in central defense. And for 45 minutes, they were actually really poor. And you would have given them a pass because many of these guys hadn't played together. Many of them are younger and reserves. It got better. It got much better in the second half. They ended up scoring 4 goals, seeing the game out. I don't think you read too much into it one way or another, except maybe for the fact that, you know, you saw a reaction and that these younger kids, these substitutes, you know, are willing to step up and be counted because, you know, they could have easily ridden out the game. Also, Griezmann scoring, people say, oh, it'll help him get his confidence back. I don't know if football works that way, but it certainly can't hurt.
And so, Serginho Dest, of course, Gab, becoming the first US player to ever score for Barcelona.
Yeah, and in fact, I think Barcelona becoming only the second team in Champions League history to have two Americans on the pitch at the same time, because Conrad De La Fuente came on. I believe it was Manchester United with maybe Tim Howard and Jonathan Spector many, many years ago. Just something that popped up on my screen. You know, Conrad De La Fuente, I think, is maybe still a ways away from getting regular playing time at Barcelona. But Serginho Dest in this period with Sergi Roberto out, you know, the position is his. And he's going to have a lot of opportunities to show what he can do. And, you know, it's not guaranteed that Sergio Roberto's ever going to start again in that position. When he comes back, they might need him in midfield.
So as we expected in this group, it is both Barcelona and Juventus who will qualify. Of course, still a big question mark as to who will finish top, but it is those two teams who will advance into the knockout stages. Meanwhile, Ferencváros and Dinamo Kiev battling it out for a place in the Europa League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Chelsea and Sevilla have both qualified from Group E after respective 2-1 victories today. Sevilla beating Krasnodar 2-1 late on, and it was a late goal as well that gave Chelsea all 3 points in France. Olivier Giroud proving to be the match winner. Craig, Chelsea's season ticking over nicely at the moment.
Yeah, this game looked as if it was going to be easier than it was, particularly at the start. Chelsea come out the game from the first whistle and started really sharply. Then Rennes got back into it and it became a more difficult game for Chelsea to see out. But look, he was able to get, well, he got Thiago Silva back, but he was able to give a rest to Reece James, N'Golo Kante for most part, and Hakim Ziyech. Three really important players for them ahead of a big game at the weekend against Tottenham, and still managed to get the job done. It was a wee bit more tricky than I think Lampard would have liked as the game went on, but at the end of the day, it was the 3 points that they needed.
Yeah, and it's another win for Chelsea, Frank.
It's another win, and I wouldn't say that it was a perfect game, and they maybe deserved to win, but they did, and it changes from the beginning of the season that we saw Chelsea maybe doing better than that, and maybe drawing or losing the game. We saw maybe the worst of Timo Werner today since he signed for Chelsea. We easily can forgive him because for what he does, you know, since the beginning, you know, we can forgive him for one game. But it's good to win, and it's good to see Giroud coming back and signing the goal of the match and making sure that Chelsea get the 3 points. So it's good for the confidence of the players of the club. Mm. Before that big game against Tottenham.
How excited should Chelsea fans be at the moment, Stevie, given this run that they're on at the moment?
Well, it should be. I mean, it would have been a travesty had they not won this game. Should have been 3-0 up at half-time. How Tammy Abraham didn't get a penalty in the second half and got a foul against them was a joke. But in general, Chelsea, They just look smooth and they go forward at a nice pace and they always look as though they're going to score goals. So if I'm a Chelsea fan, I'm absolutely delighted with what I'm seeing right now. And the fact that they lost the goal with a couple of minutes to go, but didn't even think twice about it, change of gear, went forward. Chilwell could have scored before Giroud actually did. So, no, if I'm a Chelsea fan right now, I'm more than happy to watch what's going on with them.
Frank mentioned Timo Werner there, Gab, maybe not getting the goals in these sort of games that you would expect him to.
Well, look, he's played a ton of minutes this season. He's been used in different positions. But, I mean, I don't think it necessarily matters. I think what you have now, and I think the elephant in the room is that you have it while Pulisic and especially Havertz are unavailable, although, of course, Havertz is now available again. Is you have a balance in the front four. When you play with a big center forward, when you allow Werner, especially against smaller teams in the Premier League, we're going to defend, when you allow him to start from further out, he's more effective. Mason Mount's in tremendous form in the middle of the park. You've got, obviously, Conte and Juan of Jorginho and Kovacic giving you that nice cover alongside him. And you've got Ziyech in form. I think now is when Lampard's going to be tested a little bit, because there's no question to me that with Havertz you need to find a completely different balance, and Pulisic, unfortunately for him, you know, Chelsea's wide players right now are pretty darn good.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. No, if you're Lampard at the moment.
No, I agree with Gab. I mean, we talked about it last week. He tried at the start of the season to shoehorn, not shoehorn, but play Werner through the middle, which he can do, has done. But he does look more comfortable on that left-hand side where he played a lot of his football for Leipzig. And Ziyech has come in and gave them great balance with coming off the right with the left foot. It's a wand of a left foot. And so the bigger guy through the middle has really worked for them. So in some sense, Pulisic's been out and Havertz's been out for a little bit, has worked well for Frank in terms of finding that right balance within the team. And I don't think, and I think he's shown it already, he's got a big game at the weekend, a huge game. And he's not really giving a stuff about worrying about getting Havertz or Mbappé back in. That's the balance of the team that's working at the moment.
Yeah.
So that, if there's no injuries, that front three will be the front three on Sunday, I think it is. I don't have a doubt about that. He may just change it slightly behind, doubt it. But if anybody's going to get in the side and that front line, they're going to have to push particularly the two wide players out. Because it's either, if you're playing a big man, it's Abraham or Giroud. And then everybody else is fighting for the wider spots.
Yeah, Frank, you take a look at it. Craig mentioned, of course, you've got Spurs at the weekend and then Sevilla midweek next week, which will decide who will finish top of this group. It's going to be a fascinating couple of games here for Chelsea.
It will be, and it will be interesting to see how Frank works with the rotation system. And I think if players like Pulisic comes back, you know, maybe he can swap with Mount at a certain point. Even Werner will have to rest a little bit. And I think nature will do the rest. You know, some players, unfortunately, will get injured. You will have also yellow cards, maybe. And you will have to rotate, and it will come naturally. And I think you have a choice of rich people. You know, when you have too much choices, it's because you're rich enough to have those kind of problems. But it's a good problem. It's not a bad problem. It's not like, oh, I have to look for if I have somebody to play, to put there to play on. It's, okay, I can choose between a fantastic player and another fantastic players. Yeah, it's hard. I know. I don't think Frank is going to complain about the situation. It's going to be very interesting, and everybody will be useful.
If Pulisic gets fit again, and we know how good he was before his injury, but if he gets fit again and doesn't play because these guys are playing so well, we're going to have a time of it again.
Are you saying he should leave
with
Chelsea?
Idiots coming out saying Frank Lampard doesn't understand American players and all that nonsense. Or is Lampard just trying to win football games and save his job?
No, it's because Mason Mount's his teacher's pet. That's it. Nothing to do with skill.
Mason Mount's just in the team because Frank had him at Derby on loan, and Frank Lampard's not bothered about his job.
That's it.
There's an angle to all of this.
Just hates all Americans and Scots. Just a reminder then, Sevilla through, as are Chelsea. A number of other teams looking to book a place in the Champions League knockout stages. Tomorrow we'll be reflecting on those big games on the next edition of the show. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Borussia Dortmund beat Club Brugge by 3-0 to put themselves top of Group F. Still 1 point ahead of Lazio. Also recorded a victory 3-1 against Zenit. Once again, it's a certain Norwegian striker who will grab all the headlines. Erling Haaland with a brace in this game off the back of getting 4 at the weekend. Gav, this is a record-breaking brace as well, isn't it? The first player to get to 15 goals in his first 12 games.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not like it's some iconic number. And I can tell you what, I'm pretty sure he's probably the first guy to get to 10 goals. Good chance he'll be the first to get to 20 and 25 and 30 and whatever else, because he's been that prolific. And that's why people are so excited about him. And, you know, he himself has said he can still improve in the air. But I think what makes him stand out more than his quickness, more than his two-footedness, is just his awareness. He always seems to get to the ball before other people. He always seems to know where the ball seems to go, is likely to go. And, you know, and that is something that, you know, only the very, very best strikers in history have had. It's not something you can really teach, I think.
Second one today was a gift, obviously, but he turns and hits it straight away, just instinctively knowing where he was and where the goal was.
The scary thing is he can improve in all areas.
Yeah.
He can get better in all areas. That's how much scope he has to take his career forward. I mean, Dortmund are just scary. Jadon Sancho played, Erling Haaland played, Gio Reyna played, Jude Bellingham played, the 17-year-old. They signed from Birmingham City. They had a youngster, Mikoko, on the bench who turned 16 4 days ago.
Yeah.
This club are just incredible at giving these youngsters a platform and getting results. But the interesting thing is, from Dortmund, is for all the excitement around the attacking players, and of course Erling Haaland steals the headlines, they've actually looked, and not this game in particular because this was a stroll, they've actually looked a lot more solid defensively this year. And that's going to be the platform that maybe is going to put them in a title race, which we think Bayern Munich. Because there's no point Erling Haaland scoring all these goals if they're shipping them at the other end.
Yeah.
That's not going to get the job done. But they look as if they've got the balance a lot better, which is going to be exciting for Dortmund fans.
Is it guaranteed Haaland is going to win a Ballon d'Or at some stage in his future? Is he that good?
You're doing this to wake me up.
Yep. Yes, I am.
Gab, what do you think?
We haven't got time to hear from Gab. We've got to go. I just wanted to drop that there before
Well,
we
I know Gab doesn't like it either.
Hey, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Me and you back again tomorrow. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley in the studio with me. Wonderful moment for us all. Frank Leboeuf, meanwhile, in Paris. Frank, does Giroud have the best mentality out of all professional players? He never complains about playing time and always delivers when counted on.
He has the best mentality I've ever seen. As you said, he never complains. He's a fantastic professional football player. He gives his best. You can say he's not good enough for you if you don't like him, but I think he showed to the world with the national team, with Arsenal, and now with Chelsea that you can count on him. He's a warrior, and again, a fantastic player. Lampard has to be thankful to Olivier Giroud at the end of the last season when he scored, I think, 7 goals in eight games. And tonight again, you know, Werner wasn't at his best, and Giroud scored an important goal for Chelsea in that competition again.
Meanwhile, Craig, has Ronaldo's imperious form, 37 goals in 36 games in 2020 as a 35-year-old, coupled with Messi's undeniable decline at 33, cemented Ronaldo's status as the greatest of all time?
No.
Has it skewed the conversation slightly? Yes, I think it has, hasn't it?
The issues that Messi had in the summer were no doubt somewhat detrimental to his performances. Has to be.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was so deep, personal, that it even can affect somebody like him. I don't mind. I could easily go 50-50 with these two.
Okay.
I could. I mean, because Messi does the great dribbling things and scores, but what some of the things Ronaldo has done over the years has just been amazing. I mean, you don't really see him ghosting past people now. We did in his early days at Man United and his early days at Real Madrid. And then he's had to change his game. Overhead kicks, great with the in the air with the headers, everything. Honestly, I think it's hard to separate them.
Frank?
Yeah, we have to stop comparing the two players. They don't play the same club.
That's what we do, Frank. That's what we do. What else are we going to do?
No, but now the thing they are... No, they are incomparable because they are different style. They play for different clubs. And I think Messi is a gifted person who absolutely work hard, because you don't reach that level without working hard. But I think Ronaldo has to work harder to be the player that he is, and kept on doing it, changing his game. So maybe Ronaldo gets more credit about what he got, but they are absolutely fantastic. And I don't want to choose. Who, because it's like choosing between your father and your mother.
But say we're in the playground, we're playing a pickup game, Frank. Oh, yeah? You've got first choice. Who do you pick, Ronaldo at the moment or Messi at the moment?
Well, absolutely Ronaldo, of course. I used to be a more Messi person like 5 years ago, and I read an article about Ronaldo and what he was thinking about the game, the way he changed his game, and we see what's going on with Messi at Barcelona, the influence he has. I will be with Ronaldo. But I won't mark Messi. You would have to mark Messi.
That's all right. For someone who didn't want to choose, you chose quite quickly, Frank. Fair play. Frank, who would you pick?
What
in my playground game?
A playground game? Messi. That's his kind of game.
Oh, don't be like that.
It's his kind of game.
Don't be like that.
Dribbling tight.
Frank, how do you rate Upamecano's performance today versus Mbappe and Neymar? Is he the best possible replacement for Thiago Silva at PSG?
He's a very good option. He had a very good game, like Konate. Konate has a very good game also alongside him. Powerful player, Upamecano, is getting experiences, even he's still very young. And Paris Saint-Germain has to think about the future. Alongside Marquinhos, you have Kimpembe. Kimpembe is absolutely tremendous right now. So there's no rush in that position to get somebody. But yeah, if you think about the future, Upamecano is definitely a future for any club who wants to target him.
Tell you where he doesn't want to go at the moment, Man City.
Yeah, no.
They're turning what seems like good defenders into horrendous defenders for some reason. I don't know how.
I know, it's weird.
Diaz, Laporte.
Yeah. Where's John Stones these days? Is he around? What's he up to?
Well, he's around.
What's he doing?
What's he up to?
Final question. What are your thoughts? Now, this is a great story, if you didn't see it, on Dennis not travelling with Club Bruges today because he didn't get to sit where he wanted to on the team bus. What's the strangest reason you've heard for a player not playing in a match? This is apparently the story that came out. He wanted to sit in his favourite seat, couldn't, so he stormed off the bus and didn't play.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds something a bit Burley-esque.
I don't know if I could top that. But you did always have somewhere where you kind of sat on the team coach.
Right.
However, I would suggest that not playing in a big game because somebody sat in your seat is taking it to the extremes. So I've not. I've not heard of that.
In our viewing room, when we used to watch all the games together, you would come in and throw people out who had sat in your seat, I remember.
Yes. Yeah.
But you didn't
That was technically was my seat.
Was your seat.
And that was a seat that helped my back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Unlike Steve Nicol, who never used to like to sit down.
He would sit in the windowsill.
He would sit in the windowsill because he said the sofa was uncomfortable. And he'd sit in a wooden windowsill.
Frank, what do you think? Strangest reason you've heard of a player not playing?
Now, that's completely childish. I mean, that's completely insane. I remember seeing a scene between Bernard Lama and Marcel Desailly on the national team coach, because Bernard Lama was seated on Marcel Desailly's seat. Well, they sorted the problem out, and Marcel got his seat back, and it was okay, you know, that was okay. I can understand, because you have superstition and that you want to be at the same seat. I wasn't superstitious, so I didn't care. But really, not staying on the coach and not going to the game because of that, oh man, come on, grow up, man. Just grow up.
I tell you how seats are important. As at the golf club where I used to be a member in England, a lot of the guys that I know in there, and then they go up there and socialise, and two of them, one of them, Big Brad, had a seat at the bar.
Right.
And there was only two seats at the bar because this was just the 19th. And my two mates used to sit there, but Brad's a big lad, and one day, one of the other guys came in, Jeremy, and sat in Brad's seat and refused to move. At which point, he didn't hit him, he picked him up, and he threw them across the room into the seats at the other side.
Oh, lovely Big Brad.
I'm just explaining. Seats are important.
Seats are very important, it seems you're going.
You get on the bus.
Yes.
I mean, if I came in here and somebody was sat in my seat, I wouldn't do this show.
Why would someone be sat in your seat if you're supposed to be here?
I'll tell you, next time I come over, I will sit on your seat. I want to see what's going to happen.
That'd be lovely, Frank.
I'll just go home, Frank.
You could sit in my seat and do the show. That's it. Thank you very much to Frank and to Craig. We'll be back tomorrow for more Champions League action, of course, continues. Be sure to join us then as we'll be reflecting on more of those games.